see all of you this morning. Amen. Thank you so much for choosing High Point. You could have chosen a lot of churches out there today. And we're thankful that you chose here. And now we just believe that a word from today penetrates your heart. Amen. We just believe that the anointing is on it. And it will come into your heart as seed. And it's going to spring out. And it's going to increase your life. That's how the Word of God works. Comes into your life. It penetrates your heart. And there is good soil in you. Amen. Say to your neighbor, I'm good soil. So I'm good stuff. Say it. I'm good stuff. Come on. You got to believe in yourself. There, you might have some rocky areas out there in your life. There's going to be all four soils in you. And you've got to quit looking at your bad soil, all right? You got to start looking at your good soil. When a farmer goes out there and looks at his crops, he's not looking at the roadside. He's looking at where he's worked on and where it's producing, amen? And when you get focused on where you're producing, your cropland will start to expand. You'll start looking at the rocky edges and seeing how you can get rid of that. How those stones of the fence, you can decide at that point in time. You get to looking so much at the harvest, the offense does not mean so much to you, and you start taking those stones of offense out. They're easy to come out then. If you're focusing on the offense, you're always going to have the offense, all right? So if you focus on the paths in there, then you're going to always look at the paths in there where and remember what we talked about, the paths, that one piece of prop, that one piece of soil that's a worn out path. We found out what that was. That was mama's ways and daddy's ways and grandpa's ways and the neighbor's ways and the boss's ways and my career ways, and they just wore and wore and wore, and all of a sudden, how many of you have ever heard, well, you don't need to bring up Jesus at the family reunion. Don't need to bring up Jesus at work. Don't need to bring up Jesus here. And don't need to bring up, because that's mama's ways. I remember the first thing they told me when I got a job in a DSD work, distributing, was don't talk about politics and don't talk about God. Keep those two things out and you're going to be successful. Well, I found out most of it out there runs by politics, and everybody needs God. So, you know, people only need a pizza once in a while, or a cookie or a cake. They only need that once in a while. They need God all the time. Amen? So I'm just saying, if we'll start focusing on the harvest, where is God producing in my life? Where is he moving? Where have I allowed him in to cultivate? And if I start focusing on that, it won't be long before God will show me another way. If he starts showing me another way, I'll start tilling up those paths. What I'm doing is giving him an opportunity to till up those paths. And what happens is you start opening up areas of your life that he gets to get in. And wherever he gets in, he's going to do some soil testing in there. He gets done with his soil testing, he's going to come in with what needs to be brought in. And those areas of hurt, those areas that you've held confident to that have fallen away and fallen through, listen, right now, if there's ever been a time, especially for this age group right here, we've had a life in America that we can look back on, and it was something you could stand on. And it was something that we could believe in. And I'm telling you, we're not going to get where we need to go living in yesterday. Amen. Amen. I'm all about bringing the values of the past. The greatest thing could happen right now is to reestablish the discarded values of the past, okay? Nothing greater could happen right now. That's what we do in the kingdom, is we bring back the discarded values of the past, amen? But I'm going to tell you right now, mama and daddy's way of doing things, we've got a generation that's fading away right now. And that generation had the hope of heaven, and that's what they lived for. They wanted to hear you talk about heaven all the time. They wanted you to preach about heaven. Listen, heaven is a place. We're going to go there, okay? If you're born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are going to heaven, okay? Now, that's a sealed deal. It's the same one who said he sealed your salvation. You're sealed under the day of salvation. That's the same one. The same one that you didn't know where to find God. He found you. And he's the one established his faith of him in you. That's the only faith you've got that you can call your own, is the one he gave you of himself. He establishes that in you. You don't establish that in him by reading the Bible. Faith comes through reading the Bible, but by you reading the Bible does not establish faith. You can know the Word of God by memory, and that does not establish your faith. You can quote the Bible all day long, and it will not establish anything if you're not operating in his faith. Jesus said, have faith in you, the Word. He said, have faith in God. Ooh. That's the God kind of faith. Now, when I have faith in him, now how do you build faith? How do you build faith? How do I build faith? God gives this to us in practicality in our everyday life. How do I build faith? Relationship builds faith. Experience builds faith in you. I've heard people say, well, I've had an experience with God and it didn't build any faith. And you didn't have an experience with God. You had an experience in somebody else's experience. You didn't want to pursue the relationship. I've had relationships with people, and then I've heard, not saying anything about who I know, I've heard people talk bad about them. How many of you had that experience? Nah, nobody. You ever heard anybody talk bad about somebody else? And you know them, and you love them, and you know who they really are, and you know that's not true. So did they really have an experience with that person, or did they just have a bypassing? Just a bypassing. They don't have a real relationship and a real experience, because I know that person and I know that they're gold. Amen. Amen. We can all have a bad day, but I mean, they're gold. So it comes from a relationship, and God doesn't have a bad day. Did you hear me? God never has a bad day. So folks, I'm telling you, what we're going to do today is we're going to get a little bit more of this faith in him. Because heaven is just part of the package. But I really have a question, is what we really consider heaven is. Jesus said, I'll go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. Okay? That old song comes to mind. Just build my mansion next door to Jesus. And tell the angels I'm coming home. It doesn't matter who lives around me. Just make sure my mansion's next door to God's throne. How many millions of people are going to be in heaven? You think you're going to get one right next to his throne? You're going to be right there. You're not going to be at his feet for eternity. It's not a cloud to float around on. It's something to get involved in right now here on this earth. Right now. Because it's a kingdom. It functions and flourishes. The Bible talks about streets. That sounds like to me a town or a city. Said there'll be a new Jerusalem. Well, that's a city. Heaven looks just like earth. without sin. God made us in His image after His likeness and wanted to give us something like He had. He said where the trees came from. He planted them. Where did they get them at? Transplant. We get this idea of heaven's going to be going to see mama. Heaven's going to go see daddy. Well, guess what your mom and daddy want to do? They want to go see their mom and daddy. And their mom and daddy want to go see their mom and daddy. And their mom and daddy want to see. So who wants to go see you? Your children. What do you, I don't, hey, listen, I know I'm going to get a chance to see them all. I'll figure out where these ears came from and that nose and these lips, because you'll see your generations and all that, right? But who I really want to see is the one who got me there. Amen? That's the one I want to see. I want to see him. Amen? I want to see what his real plan is, because there's a plan behind all this. Amen? Let's just go to start out this morning. Let's just head over here to Luke 16:16. Now Jesus is speaking, okay? So let's just get off of our idea, because we got a lot of stuff going on right now. The vax, the unvax, the masked, the unmasked, the conspiracies, the non-conspiracies, the brainwashed, the unbrainwashed. Come on. You got it all out there right now. And there's even the Christians trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Amen? You, as a child of God, are an ambassador of the heavens. An ambassador is not of the country he is going to. We are not, the Bible says we are not of this world. When you got born again, something supernaturally took place inside of you. The inerrant word of God somehow penetrated your heart, the heart of your thinking, and touched the egg of your existence that would eventually would be cast off into outer darkness. But before that took place, before that could happen, the Word touched the egg of your existence and a new being was created inside the womb of your spirit. Mm-mm-mm. You are not what you used to be. You are now an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven because that Word came from heaven. Jesus was an immaculate conception by the power of the spoken word from an angel from heaven. And the word went into Mary's womb, touched the egg of her belly, and that was the man part, but the spirit part, the bloodline part, came from that word, and immediately Mary was pregnant. By the word spoken on earth. I'm trying to get something across to you. You've got something on the inside of you, and now with a word spoken, something can happen. And we have the choice of what to speak. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, he says, I am anointed to preach the good news to the poor. What's good news to a poor man? Huh? He ain't got to be poor no more. That is the perfect definition of preaching the good news to a poor man. Now listen, poverty is depending upon the circumstances. It could be financial, but it also could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be relational. But God says, Jesus said, God incarnated, Jesus Christ, sitting there, he said, I am anointed to preach the good news to whatever area of poverty there is. We are not to try to end poverty as we see it. Because Jesus said, poverty, the poor will be with you always. You know what that's saying? A spirit of poverty or a spirit of poor or lack will always be there. And you can't fix the spirit of poverty with truckloads of food. You can't fix it with truckloads of dry goods. You can't fix it with homeless shelters. The only thing that will fix it is the anointed gospel of the preaching of good news. The anointing is related to oil massaged in. You talk to anybody that is in massage therapy, the medical field, now they're finding out different essential oils. Ladies, you know more about essential oils than we men do. But the essential oils, you know, you study enough about them. When you start massaging them in, they go into your body, right? I knew a guy that went on some type of diet and he'd done some injections. And they were it was a hormone thing. And I tell you what, it did amazing things for him. He was my age, and it wasn't long. He looked like he was half my age. I thought, wow, I want some of that, you know? But it was pretty expensive. But he said when his body got to this particular level, he had to be careful what shampoo he used, what oils, hand lotions and stuff he used. Because the body was absorbing that, and it would come into the balance that he had created, the doctors had created in his body, and it would imbalance him. Okay? Jesus said, I'm anointed to preach the good news. Did you know there is another anointing out there that'll mess your balance up, Christian? You keep watching Channel 3, Channel 6, and Channel 12. Good Morning America, like it's the God. I'm telling you, there's an oil in that, and they're massaging it in you. And as they massage it in you, it is affecting your balance of your Christian existence that God put in you. Amen. He made you a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. All things have now passed away, and behold, new things. All things have become new to you. And you've got to be careful what you allow them to massage into you. They're massaging fear. 365 times in this gospel, in this Bible, you will find fear not. 365. How many days are there in the year? 365 times in this Bible you will find fear not. Why? Why does he say it that many times? Because he knows the world is trying to massage something else in you. And it's all fear produced. The kingdom does not come with fear. And you cannot preach fear from the gospel, or out of the gospel from the pulpit trying to get people saved. The Bible says, Paul said, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Fear is a manipulative tactic that the devil uses in his anointing. Why in the world would God put it in his? Hello. People don't change because you tell them they're going to hell. And I mean, I've heard the messages. The story of the 747, give the number of the flight. And this businessman was lacing his shoes at his hotel, and he was getting up his leather attaché case and putting on his suit jacket for the last time. Walking out the door, getting in his cab, going down to the airport, getting on that plane, not knowing in just a few moments that plane would go down out into a field, burst into flames, and he would lose his life. You better get saved now. What are you getting saved out of now? Fear what might happen. Boy, you never know. You just never know. Tomorrow's promised to no one. need to listen to who he's talking to when he says, tomorrow's promise to no one. You've got to read it in context. Because how can God say the number of man will be 120 years and then he tomorrow's promise to no one? He was speaking to all men at one point, and he's speaking to some men at another. And you need to begin to figure out what's going on. Amen? I have a promise for tomorrow. It's encapsulated in my purpose. And we find our purpose in the kingdom of God. And the reason children of God are not finding their purpose is because we don't preach the kingdom anymore. We preach behavioral modification. We preach heaven. We preach hell. And we preach a lot of sin. I've had them tell me over and over, you don't preach enough about sin, Dean. You need to tell people about sin. I said, I think they know about it. I think they're well aware. All you got to do is mention Jesus, and they're sinning. They know about sin. Amen. Paul said that's not the stuff that gets them saved. We do need to understand about sin and how it works and how it operates, because when we come in this kingdom and we operate in grace, grace teaches us not to sin. Grace does not give you permission to continue living the way you live. I wish people could listen to both sides of that. It's not a flip coin. It's the one side of grace. Grace teaches us not to sin. That's why I'm a radical grace preacher. I believe in radical grace, because radical grace means a radical eradication of sin. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you need a dose of that? I do. How many of you? You need a dose of that? I could use a dose of that. So let's talk about the kingdom just real quick. I'm not going to... Hey, turn these lights out on me. I can't see what time it is. Now you're in trouble. Oh, there's right up here. I see what time it is. All right, Luke 4:16. Listen to this very closely, because this is Jesus speaking to us. The law and the prophets. Everybody say with me, the law and the prophets were until John. Stop. The law and the prophets were until John. The law and the prophets were up until John. The law and the prophets were up until John. When I first started in this, my church, I'm Pentecostal. If you don't know, I'm Pentecostal. I don't make the Holy Spirit the focal point. And I'll tell you why, because Jesus said that he would speak of him, not of himself. So when we make the Holy Spirit the focal point, we're trying to make the Holy Spirit speak for himself, and he doesn't come to speak for himself, and then he stops speaking. If you want to make him the focal point, he stops speaking. You want to know why a Holy Spirit church dries up? Because we get all focused on the Holy Spirit. We got people operating in the Spirit of God all over this building, and most of you don't even know it most of the time. But you're operating in the Holy Spirit, so know what? Your neighbor's operating in the Holy Spirit too. This is a Spirit-filled church. We just don't bring it into the house. We bring him in the house. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. He's in us. But we don't make him the fashion statement of our church. Why? Because he said he will come and speak of me. Jesus speaking, he will come and speak of me. The greater we rise up Christ, the greater the Holy Spirit has volume to fill. The more we talk about the Holy Spirit, the less operation we get. I've had people come in here, they visit for a few times, nobody hung from a chandelier, Nobody ran around the building, and nobody screamed out in tongues. So, well, this is not a spirit-filled church. Well, you're looking for a zoo. And they're out there, okay? I've lived in the zoo. I know the difference. Amen. And I'd rather walk with people who are standing on the word. All right? Because the Holy Spirit can move through that. The law and the prophets were until John. I said one time I wanted to operate in all nine gifts. I was just starting out in the ministry. I was training underneath someone in that spirit realm and that the spirit-filled church. And they told me, well, you can't do that. The Bible says those gifts are just, God gives those out to here and there, wherever, and that kind of thing. Well, I started studying on that, and I found out that was wrong. I didn't listen to somebody else preaching about it, but what I found out is those gifts are there. They don't come in part. They came in fullness with the Spirit, okay? So when they come in fullness, when the Spirit comes, all nine gifts come because all nine gifts operate in the Holy Spirit. What are the most important gifts? Well, the most important gifts come for the situation that they need to operate in. How do you know the situation and the operation? Paul said, I'll teach you a better way. If you find love, love will give you the direction of what gifts need to be used at the time they need to be used. And then they're operating in what is needed, deeply needed, rather than what you perceive. Whoa. You got to walk in the Spirit in this thing, man. You can't walk in perception. Perception will turn into assumption. And you know what assumption is? It's the lowest form of human knowledge. We'll clean that definition up, okay? It's the lowest form of human knowledge. Do you want to operate by the lowest form of human knowledge? Being filled with the Spirit, full of the Word of God, an ambassador of Christ, the kingdom of God, operating in all the power of God, living in assumption? No. That's why we've got to turn this thinker into him. And allow, and the only thing that can cause that to start to work is the power of love. And the power of love has to be received before it can be given. Therefore, we've got to quit teaching people when they get saved that they got to love God. You got to quit telling the world you got to love God. You got to quit looking in the mirror telling yourself you got to love God. The devil has got you on a chase for your tail trying to love God. It is only when love is received. When love is received, now you have something to give. Remember, seed time and harvest is taught by our Heavenly Father, and it's taught that way because He is the first one in example doing it. He doesn't expect you to love Him until He first loves you. So let's get that guilt off. Because how many of you have gotten prayer at some point in time in your Christian life saying, I don't love God? I mean, it's obvious I don't love God. I don't do His will. I find myself failing in His will all the time. Do you know why you're failing in His will all the time? It's because you haven't received His love. He said, you can tell those that love me because they hearken to my word. They listen and they obey my word. Those are the ones that love me. Jesus is talking about, now we got to love God, we got to love God, we got to love God. Jesus went on to reveal over in John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, that is not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Then we're able to love, and those that are able to love, we abide by His word. We're trying to abide by His word and trying to love Him, trying to abide by His word, trying to love Him, trying to abide by His word, trying to love Him, trying to abide by His word, and trying to love Him. And we're failing, 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 and we finally give up. Most people that walk back out that door of your church are people who have given up. They still want God. They still want to live a life. They still want to go to heaven. We decide we're going to assume what they're thinking when they walk out the door. They want that world more than they want this. We assume a lot. Most generally, it's not the case. Most generally, what happened was they got in church, you got to love God. You got to obey. You got to love God. You got to obey. You got to love God. You got to obey. When that's not the Father's message from the kingdom at all. You've got to receive His love so that you can love. And in that love, you will begin to see yourself walking out His word. And then He tells you, focus on the harvest, and we'll get to the paths, the stony ground, and the thorns and thistles in a bit. But you focus on the harvest. Are we doing okay so far this morning? Say to your neighbor again, I'm good soil. I got a harvest coming. See to God's words in me. Come on. He'll send the rain. He'll send the sunshine. And the soil, my soil will do what it does. It will start producing that word. Because that's how He created me. He did not speak me into existence. He scooped me up and He formed me. Say it with me. He formed me in my mother's womb. I'm not spoken. Hallelujah. I'm formed. He's had His hands on me before, and I'm letting Him put His hands on me again. Amen? All right. Guess what I'm trying to say in that little bit was, there's prophecies, but we have no prophets now. Some woman, I got to operate in all 9 gifts, and my pastor's wife came up to me and she said, you're a prophet. I said, Lord, I'm not a prophet. You don't know what I did just a few minutes ago. I'm not a prophet. You don't know what I said to somebody just a while ago. I'm not a prophet. But I know the prophetic works in me. Prophetic is nothing more than you're between the frozen peas and the frozen corn. And God speaks to you about that person next to you and says, just love on them. Or just, now the prophetic's working in you. Because the voice of God is flowing through you. It's prophetic is the voice of God. Penetrating the heart. That's the only thing that will penetrate the heart of men and women. It's the only thing. You can get up here and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, but I know the only words that are going into your heart today are the words that are carried by the Spirit of God and none other. You'll laugh at some of my words. You'll cry at some words. You'll get mad at some things I say, and you'll be happy about some things I say. You'll agree with some of it. You won't agree with others of it. But here's the thing. The only thing that's going to make it into your heart is that which is carried by the Spirit of God. So now you know how I get up here in my state, getting up here to preach. I know I'm nothing without Him. Amen. He says, since that time, listen, since the time of John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. When you start preaching the kingdom, people press in. They want that. Preach sin, they recoil. They'll run to the altar, cry, and repent. But no change takes place. The kingdom of heaven is what touches your heart and stirs you when you're a child of God. And the operation of the kingdom of God is what draws people to God, not everything else. I want you to notice, now after that John, this is Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Watch this. This is pretty cool. It's not on there, it's on here. All right, watch this. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Okay? Now I want to just throw this out here, and we're going to close, all right, because I'll leave you hungry for more. Watch this. As he sent Jesus, so he sends us. That's what the Bible says. All right? You'll find that in John, the last chapter of John. As Jesus was sent, so are we. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. Now I'm going to throw a statement out here. What did he do? He preached the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among them, among the people. All right? All right? Watch this, Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went all about Galilee in their synagogues, preaching the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Once again, Luke 8:1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. After a little bit, he sent the 12 out to do the same thing, and they went and preached, they went and laid hands on the sick, they recovered, right? Now, Jesus came in preaching, laying hands on the sick, they recovered. Then he got that, he massaged that anointing into those 12, and then he sent the 12 out, and they went out preaching what? The kingdom, and laying hands on the sick, and they recovered, right? All right. So what is it that we're supposed to do today? Let the anointing be massaged in us, go out and preach the good news of the kingdom, and lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. All right, okay. But I've laid hands on people and they didn't recover. All right, I just seen a few heads nod. I've seen that happen, all right? Here's just how I think, okay? And you can't get me around a body of water that I don't think about it, whether it's a swimming pool. Now, don't you start poking fun at me when we get around water and you're with me. Because I'm already thinking about it, okay? Sometimes, I heard Marilyn say this one day. She was sitting here, and after I preached on the 120 years, she said, you know, I might not get 120 years. She said, but if I could get 100, that's more than anybody in my family got. And the next generation, maybe get 110. Maybe then, what she's saying is, I'm going to go as far as what I believe can take me. I'm going to go as far as I can. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to stretch out beyond that, and I'll hit somewhere in the middle. That might be where you have to go first, and that's where I'm at. I've not seen everybody healed that I lay hands on. I've seen a bunch healed, but I've not seen everybody healed. So I've just decided I'm going to stick my faith way out there. And look at what Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, right? As God sent Jesus, so he sends me with the same Spirit, same power, amen? Okay? Jesus had the mission of saving the world. I have the same mission of preaching the kingdom. He preached the kingdom, I preach the kingdom. He heals the sick, I heal the sick. My mission is not to save the world. My blood is, I don't carry the salvation blood in me. He carried the salvation blood. So his mission was different. He had to come from heaven to do that. All right? He's calling me from earth to do this. All right? But what he did with that earthly body, no difference. No difference. outside the blood spilled. It was a container of salvation blood. Do you understand that? But what he did physically, everyone was able to do. You're able to take nothing and produce something. How many of you have ever been down to nothing and all of a sudden your hand started producing something? You're going, I don't know where that came from. God is multiplying what you have, right? So here's where I live. I heard it said, and when it said, it just went all through me. It said, I think water is longing for someone to step on it again. Oh, whoa, whoa, wait, whoa. I think water is longing for someone to walk on it again. Whoa, whoa, wait a second. Are you going to let that thought just start wrapping around your head? I think water is longing for someone to walk on it again. Now, spiritually, metaphorically, I have walked on water. Walked on what should have took me under, should have had to swim through. God let me walk right across. How many of you have been with, you've all lived that metaphoric life. Amen? Amen? The kingdom of God is in us. Let's start thinking about, because God's the God of impossibilities. God brings rain where there's no clouds. Come on. I'm not giving up. I don't care what Pritzker announces next week. I don't care what the government announces next week. God is God. And I'm gonna gather that information, and then I'm gonna turn around and process it, recycle it into, and I'm gonna speak the word of God. I'm still speaking. May the blankets of government be ripped off and everyone exposed. I don't care whether you're Republican, Libertarian, or a Democrat, or a liberal. I want the blankets pulled off, and it's time for exposure. Amen. If that's what you say, don't join in that fear. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, he said, don't plan on what you're going to do till you stand before those men. He'll give you the power and he'll give you the words. But I ain't folding. Amen. I'm not folding. Amen. So what are we going to speak this week? We're kingdom people. What are we going to speak? We're going to listen, process, and we're going to find the life in it. We're going to speak the life of God in it. Amen. Because the power of God is in us. Amen. You keep speaking and watching things change in your life. It won't be long before you'll be looking at that water. It won't be long. You'll be looking at that water going, huh, well, I've spoken, things have changed. I've laid hands on things and things have changed. Oh, man, that water's looking pretty good. Amen? Love you, folks. You're God's soil and you're God's choice. Did you hear me? You're God's soil and you're God's choice. He values you. And there's more to this life than that television and that news. It's time to break out. It's time to break away. It's time to break free of it. Somebody asked Pat the other day if they heard what on. No, we ain't even got to see Hollywood Rick yet. We don't turn on the news. You know, we ain't watched the news in a long time. Just teasing you, Rick. I love my brother. Father, we thank you for your word today. It penetrates into our hearts. We are good soil. We will focus on the hill which comes our strength. We'll focus on the harvest, Father, which producing in our life. And Father, you're going to take care of the thorns and thistles. You're going to help us take care of the stones and the worn out paths. Father, we receive you today. We receive your love in Jesus' name. We're going to quit trying, and we're going to start receiving in the name of Jesus. We give you the glory. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll have more on this next week.